Okay, anything else? All right, if y'all will turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Hello, buddy.
Good morning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big truck. I might need to borrow that. Okay, if y'all will join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us and pay for our sins. That by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, we pray this morning for your guidance, that you teach us your word by your Spirit to build us up in the faith. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to be with them, to comfort these people, and to heal these people according to thy will, and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding in these situations. And Father, we pray for Al that the thing will work out for him there in his home that burnt. And we ask you to be with him as he's going through this ordeal. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, to give honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, he doesn't stop there, but I want to stop there for a second, and I want to back up to verse 1. Last days. Last days of what?
This
cessation. If you go through the Bible and you start out in Genesis to Malachi, I can find the last days of this back here. I can find, well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's do that just a minute. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We'll just do this. Let's see if we can find out what these last days are. Because I know that the days that we live in now, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 and gave him a dispensation, and it's called the Gospel of Christ. And the Gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for our justification. You can't find the Gospel of Christ back here in Genesis to Malachi. You can't find the Gospel of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You understand? Jesus Christ never preached that he was going to go to Calvary and die for men's sins. Now, he told them that he was going to go to Calvary and die and be resurrected the third day, and he would come back again over here on the other side, over here at the second coming. But he didn't say anything about this time in here that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Now, when the body of Christ is full, the rapture will take place, the Lord will meet us in the air, and we will leave out of here. I'm going to rub this off. I think everybody knows by now that you set your clock forward next week. The Lord will appear at the rapture of the church, then the 7-year tribulation will begin, and it cannot begin while the church, which is his body, is here. And when I say the church, which is his body, I'm not talking about a Baptist church, a Methodist, a Catholic, a Jehovah's Witness, or whatever. I'm talking about the church, which is his body. This is a body of believers that believe that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, that he died for all of their sins. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into this body and seals you into this body until the day of redemption. You understand? Anybody got a question? All right. So if I can find the end of this back here, I know Paul in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 is not talking about this end. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 15. God is dealing with Moses. Moses is a deliverer. Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." God told him to go in there and tell Pharaoh, "Let my son go out of Egypt." They've been in bondage for 430 years, and they've been in bondage for 400 years into Egypt. Israel has, God's chosen people. Now, verse 15, "The Lord thy God," talking to Moses now, "will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken." Well, the prophet there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 3. Hold Deuteronomy. Go to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Acts 3:22. "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and his seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Verse 26 now. "Unto you first," these Israelites that Peter's writing to. Peter is not the apostle to the church, the body of Christ. There are churches, Catholic churches, believe that Peter is the first pope and that he is the apostle that we're to follow today. And I'm going to show you that ain't so. You understand? Now, if you believe your Bible, Acts 3, verse 26 again. "Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus." Well, who is this prophet? Jesus. It's Jesus, ain't it?
Yeah.
Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. "The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee." Well, let's see if we can find out who that is. Go back to chapter 18, verse 1. 18, verse 1. "The priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi." Now, I know who he's talking to. Go back to verse 15. "The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall you hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said to me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up in them a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Now, go to Acts chapter 7 and take John chapter 8. Acts 7, John chapter 8. Now listen, you learn your Bible by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, this is a Bible study class. It's not a brainwashing facility. It's a study class. Now, John chapter 8, Jesus Christ. So if you got red letter, probably a lot of this would be in red letter. Go to verse I'm going to break into the context and just skip around a little bit for time's sake. Go to verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasure as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. In other words, it ain't time for him to go to Calvary is what he's telling them. But he's talking to them now. Verse 21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Ye shall die in your sins. Well, I go, you cannot come. Jesus Christ is talking about going to Calvary, dying, and going back to God the Father, where he came from. Now, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I am do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In other words, Jesus Christ was told to train 12 men, carry on a ministry after he's crucified. These 12 men, or you'll find them in the book of Acts, and you'll find them up to a point, and I'm going to say Acts chapter 15. After that, after Acts 15, you do not see anything about Peter anymore. His ministry ceases. Paul comes on the scene. Him and Barnabas in Acts 13 are sent forth by the Holy Spirit for a purpose. Paul has a purpose. His purpose is to get people saved and them baptized into the body, fill up the body of Christ. When the body of Christ is full, we are his fullness according to Ephesians chapter 1. When the body is full, then we can go out of here and God will deal with Israel according to the teaching of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking forward to the tribulation over here when the Antichrist will be revealed. And then after the 7-year tribulation, there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, I can show you the end of all of these things. So when Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the last days, so of the last days that Paul is talking about, there's a division in between Paul's epistles. Those who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now listen to me, that word believe is very important because Israel didn't go into the kingdom for one purpose only. You know what it is? Unbelief. Unbelief. Let me show you that. You can drop Deuteronomy. We may go back in. We may not. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Now you see, Paul has a doctrine. And his doctrine ain't the same as Jesus Christ's doctrine. It's not supposed to be. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, that's the same brethren that he's talking to back in Deuteronomy back here, and in the book of Acts we read, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. These Hebrews, who is their apostle?
Jesus.
Who is these Hebrews apostle? These are tribulation saints over here, beloved. These people over here are being trained back here to look forward when they see the Antichrist run hide. They are looking to the tribulation and they are waiting for the second coming. The church, the body of Christ, has already been resurrected with Christ in A.D. 33 based on God's foreknowledge, knowing who would trust Christ as their personal Savior. Now, in chapter 3, verse 12, same people. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Well, I know who he's talking to. He's talking about these people back here. Did these people depart from God? Let me show you how you know they did. Go to Hosea. You'll have Daniel, Hosea, chapter 4. Now, this ain't hard to get a hold to if you believe your book. The Bible has a timeline. Time ceases. You understand? This time that God dealt with Israel back here ceased because of one reason. That of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people, now listen to me. Anytime you see in a 1611 King James Bible, my people, it's always a reference to Israel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. For there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks. Do you know what the stocks are?
Idols.
Idols. Y'all know any people that bow down to idols?
Oh, yeah.
That pray through idols?
Mm-hmm.
God said that's an abomination. Tell you what, dude. Let me show you what he's talking about here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Israel is in bad trouble because they forsook the knowledge of God. You know what their knowledge was? The law. The law. Beloved, if you know people that's trying to keep the law today, that's one of Paul's purposes, to show the righteousness of God today without the law. There's no law I got to keep to be saved. You know what will stop you from being saved?
Unbelief.
Let me show you that before we get through here this morning. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Israel has been brought out of bondage. God has destroyed seven nations in their sight. And by the way, you know, I thought about this morning. God didn't do it just overnight. He didn't just all of a sudden come to a point and say, that's enough, that's it. And then from that day forward, there ain't no more seven nations. You know what he told Israel? He said, I can't destroy them all at one time, lest the beast and the briars and the brambles take over you. He just destroyed them a little at the time. Are you with me? A little at the time, since the Apostle Paul preached that he was going to go to Gentiles such as us that are not in the covenants of promise. We had no way to get to God until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel to us. That God has been just showing it a little at a time. And one day, it's going to be over. It's going to be like when God told Noah back here, build you an ark, Noah. An ark, what is that thing, God? What's an ark? Well, I want you to build a big old boat. For what, God? Why you want me to build a boat? Well, I'm going to destroy mankind that I've built, that I've created from the earth. I'm going to destroy every living thing on the dry land, except you and your family. Eight souls, are you listening to me? Eight souls were saved out of the flood. Out of millions and millions of people that were on the face. You know these people lived up to 1,000 years back then?
Yeah.
It wasn't but eight people righteous in the eyes of God? What is an ark? What you going to do here, Lord? He said, well, I'm going to flood the world. How are you going to do that? It ain't never. Noah had never in his life seen a drop of rain. You know what Noah saw? The dew watered the ground. God said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. Do you believe there's frozen water up above you right now?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe over here in the tribulation? And beloved, you don't want to go in the tribulation. Do you believe over here there's hailstones reserved over here of talent, 130-pound block of ice going to come out of heaven? God's going to break up the heavens in the tribulation, and there's going to be 130-pound blocks of hail. It's going to be hail, all right. I was watching the news this morning, and there's some people in real bad shape in this country this morning. They've lost their homes. Some of them haven't even gotten completely rebuilt from the last tornadoes, and they are destroyed again. And the headline said something about something from hell. And I suspect that's the way them folks feel. But you don't want to be over here. And you know how you can stay out of this over here? There ain't but one way. And that's to trust that when Christ died at Calvary, He died for your sins. And if you ain't never trusted that, I'm talking about really believe that when Christ died at Calvary, He paid for your sins, and your sins ain't your problem. So you ain't got to go to somebody and confess your sins, because He's a sinner Himself, and He can't even save Himself. How's He going to save you? Hebrews 10 is very clear about the priest that can't take away your sins. What is Jesus Christ paid for your sins, beloved? They're paid for. Look what He says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 14. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the likeness of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and least thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations, unto the whole heaven. Verse 23, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke Him to anger, I will call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and they are scattered today. And beloved, just believe your book. Go back to Hosea chapter 3. Verse 1, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. Now I want to stop right there. I want to talk to you about that king. Take two passages. Take Zechariah chapter 9. Matthew chapter 21. You see, I know why Israel was scattered, because they committed adultery with idols. It's called fornication, spiritual fornication in the name of a God. Matthew 21, Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem, there came to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, said unto them, go into the village over against you. Straightway you shall find an ass tied, a colt with her, loose them, bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto thee, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and you just read it in Zechariah the prophet. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And beloved, they should have known who he was. Come down to verse 11. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Was Jesus the prophet that Deuteronomy wrote about back here, that Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy? Well, we've already seen it. Here he is. Now, go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. I tell you what to do. You're going to have to go ahead and take John chapter 19 while you're at it. Anybody got a question? I can slow down here if we need be. John 19 while you're at it. Matthew 15, John 19. I'm going to show you the end of this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, in Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Huh? You mean this mighty prophet, this Jesus of Nazareth, wouldn't even talk to this lady? You know why? She's not a Jew. You just saw where she was from. She's from Canaan. She's a Canaanitish woman. She's not a Jew. Now watch the reason why. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, lost sheep. Did God Almighty tell them back there, if you turn from me, I'll scatter you in all the nations? Well, he did. So Jesus Christ, as a babe, is a sign to Israel. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's a prophecy out of Isaiah. This is their sign to Israel. You'll find him over there in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. When he went into Jerusalem, how did he go in? Riding on an ass. Prophecy of Zechariah. Came in as their king. They should have recognized him. But let me show you what they did. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Let's go to verse Jesus Christ is being tried, and let's go to verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called in the pavement, but is in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was a preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. Now the king, and they ought to pay attention to him, but they didn't. I mean, they ain't been paying attention to the prophets, no how. They ain't been paying attention to Jesus anyway. But verse 15, look at it. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Did they deny him?
Yes, sir.
They sure did. Mm-hmm. Now, come over to verse... Well, I'll tell you what to do. Let's do something. Hold chapter 19 and go with me to chapter 17. I can't do it without going to chapter 17 first. I got to show you this. Now, and if you want to know the Lord's Prayer, listen to me, beloved. That so-called thing that people do in these religious churches, the Lord's so-called, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord never prayed that prayer. You know who he prayed? Who prayed that prayer? He taught his disciples that prayer. That ain't the Lord never prayed that prayer. Now, do you want to know the Lord's Prayer? Here it is, right here in John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In other words, I know who he said he was sent to in Matthew 15, 24. Who did he say he was sent to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. We ain't sheep. If you write in your Bible like I do, you need to put a reference there, Jeremiah 50, verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep, a lost sheep. He identifies them in Jeremiah. Now, Jesus Christ is praying to God. He's been given 12 men. And beloved, Isaiah 8, in Hebrews chapter 2, in other places, these men are for signs and wonders in Israel, not the church, the body of Christ. Peter is one of these apostles sent to Israel, not the church, the body of Christ. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, verse 8, I have given them, these men, that God gave him, these 12 apostles, I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray for the world. No, no, no. Hold up for you. Mean Jesus wouldn't even pray for me and you? Why, flip, no, he wouldn't have wasted time on me and you. You know why? He wasn't sent to me and you. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, they denied him, and in Acts chapter 7, they even blasphemed the Holy Spirit through the preaching of Stephen. But these 12 men are to carry on a ministry after he leaves here. But these 12 men don't know anything about this period of time in here that was going to be given to the Apostle Paul. At this time, Paul is a blasphemer. He is speaking against those people that believed that he was the king of Israel. Now, what I want to show you here is Jesus Christ, and go back to chapter 19 now. Jesus Christ had been he'd been taken out to be crucified. And now verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews. Now I want you to watch what goes on here now. Listen very close to this. For the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. You reckon why it was written in three different languages? Beloved, them Jews have been scattered all over and they've lost their natural tongue. You take a Chinese couple, bring them over here from China, and they have kids here in this country in reckon what language they're going to speak? They're going to speak English. You leave that mom and daddy over there, let them be born in China, what they going to speak? Chinese. So these Jews that were scattered all over the nations spoke Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So Pilate wrote it across there so everyone that come by, regardless of what nation he was from, what language he heard, he could read Jesus, King of the Jews. Now watch what these so-called uppity priests and all these people said about this here. Verse 20, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. He didn't tell him he was King of the Jews, did he? Did he?
No.
He asked Pilate, he said, you say that or somebody else say that? You know why they didn't know he was King of the Jews? They didn't believe the Scriptures. You know what's now the people today, beloved? Unbelief of the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul is the Apostle to the Gentiles. Right. Now let me show you the end of these apostles here. Go to Galatians. I'll tell you, I apologize. I got to show you the end of this before we leave here. Go to Acts chapter 19, where you at here, verse 28. Jesus is on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon Hyssop, put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Did Jesus Christ say it's finished?
Right.
Well, beloved, it's finished. Well, Paul ain't saying over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the latter days, got to be somewhere else, somewhere. Just don't give up. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Brother, you could spend a month on anything we've been talking about here this morning to show the truth to people, and they still, well, you know, my mom and daddy was in this organization, and my grandma and grandpa, they believe this and that. Well, it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Well, just because grandma and grandpa believed it a lie and went to hell, do you want to follow them? I mean, this thing's serious. Listen, Paul wrote that after Acts 28, the perilous times will come. We're in perilous times. I ain't talking about money-wise and price of gas and groceries. I'm talking about spiritual things. People have turned. You can't hardly find a good King James Bible anymore. Satan's got his translations all over the world, and you know why he's got them? So you can't understand what God's doing. And when you can't understand what God's doing today, he's got you right where he wants you. And you know where you're going to wind up? You're going to wind up just like he is in Ezekiel 28. He's going to go down through the pit, and people are going to say, are you the man that destroyed all the world? Have you become weak as us? I get beside myself sometimes. I have to stop. I look around at the world. The world's in a mess. And you ain't going to make it no better. I don't give a flip who you vote for. He ain't going to do no more than the last crook did, except fill his pockets.
No more than what Satan wants him to.
Listen, if you sitting here and you ain't saved, you're in a hell of a mess. And there ain't no kidding. Sorry about that, buddy. You forget that one. Galatians chapter 2. Let me show you something. Galatians chapter 2. Now, what you're fixing to read here took place in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15. Now listen, I know that Jesus Christ, when he came, he told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And we went through that last week. Jesus Christ is the rock. Peter means pebble. Pebble and rock ain't the same thing. Jesus Christ is the rock. You can find the quickest reference to finding out who the rock was that followed Israel back here in the wilderness is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Christ is that rock. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, those saints in here that believed as the 12 believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King of Israel, then when they died, they couldn't go up to heaven because their sins had not been forgiven them. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he also paid for their sins, and he tells them about that in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. He's a propitiation for their sins. He paid for their sins. So, at the second coming, they will be resurrected to go into the kingdom. Jesus Christ says, the gates of hell. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he said, I have the keys of hell and death. He has the keys. He's going to open the doors down there. There's bars down there under your feet. There's fire under your feet. There are people down there under your feet. If you hear them, you could hear them screaming and gnashing their teeth and pining, wanting just one drop of water, as in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, when he died, he went into hell. The beggar died and was carried into the heart of the earth, into Abraham's bosom. He's awaiting down there right now. You know, I know people don't believe this book. I hear them preach these funerals and all these things. Well, you know, so-and-so died. Well, he's up in heaven looking down here at us now, watching over us. No, he ain't. John chapter 3, verse 13 says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He went back to where he came from. Glorify thy Son. John 17. With the glory that he had with thee before the world was. Now listen to me. Galatians chapter 2 is Acts 15. Acts chapter 15. That's when it took place. Galatians 2. Verse 1. Then 14 years. I suspect that's 17 years after Paul is saved. Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9. He leaves there. He says he went up. He didn't go up to Jerusalem. He left there and went into the desert. And he's gone 3 years. He came back. He went in there and he talked to them. Then after 14 years, I'm saying that's 17 years after Paul's salvation. Now, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem. The first time was that you'll find in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. He went up into the synagogue and proved that this Jesus that you crucified is the Lord. Now, this is a time that somebody has tried to tell these people in Galatians that they have got to keep the law to be justified. So Paul and Barnabas went up to Jerusalem to confront the apostles about this situation. Now, let me show you who's there. Verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. Well, you know who the heathen are? It's the Gentiles. And they unto the circumcision. Peter was going to Israel. And from Acts chapter 15, you don't find any more of these apostles in the book of Acts. You find the apostle Paul and his company going forward with the gospel of Christ. And then that dispensation here ceased. When that, and I don't have time to go to it, but in 1 Corinthians you can find it. When that which is imperfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And it is. No more signs, no more talking in tongues. Beloved, Acts chapter 2, they were given languages so these people that came to Pentecost could hear the wonderful works of God. They're not speaking in some kind of jibber-jabber like you hear these Pentecostal people doing today. They're speaking in a language. There are 16 different people there from 16 different nations, and they are all Jews. And they heard them Galileans, them 12 Galileans, speak in their tongue. Not jibber-jabber. No more of that today. Paul had the signs of an apostle. That's over with. That's gone. So, the last days that Paul's talking about has got to be here. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me show you something that you don't want to be involved in. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I'm going to say to you, you can study this out. I'm going to say to you, that's the church, the body of Christ. We are withholding the Antichrist from being revealed. The Antichrist cannot come on the scene as long as the church, the body of Christ is here. You got two witnesses in the book of Revelations, Moses and Elijah, that are going to come. And John the Baptist back here was in the spirit of Elijah. Had they received John the Baptist's message, repent and be baptized, he would have been the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great notable day of the Lord comes. They wouldn't receive him. They spoke against him. He got his head cut off for preaching. So the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, they can't come and preach the gospel of the kingdom while the gospel of Christ is being preached. They would be a curse to God according to Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And by the way, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, he said, if an angel, there goes the Moroni, right out the window. If an angel preach any other gospel than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, verse 9, he said, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. You know anybody that's preaching the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or over here out of Hebrews through Revelation? You know what God said? Let him be cursed. So there's something withholding the Antichrist from being revealed. You got to understand, if these two witnesses started preaching while the church, the body of Christ, is here, they'd be accursed of God. He'd have to curse them because he can't lie. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I'm saying that's the church, the body of Christ, taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked, whatever that is, you make your own mind up, I say it's the church, the body of Christ. Other people say different things. I say it's the church, the body of Christ. When we are taken out of the way, then that wicked shall be revealed. The two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11, will be preaching. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. With the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Y'all remember we read back there that our God's a consuming fire? Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, this dispensation ends, then the Antichrist can be revealed, and God starts this time over here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. A week is sevens. This is 7-year tribulation for Israel. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ trains them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when he stands in the holy place, run, flee to the mountains. You'll find that over there in Revelation chapter 6. The Antichrist is revealed. They will run and hide to the mountains and say, hide on us and cover us from the day of his wrath has come. Revelation chapter 6, you'll find it over there. But we are withholding this from happening. Beloved, Hebrews through Revelation are tribulation saints. They're not in the church, the body of Christ. So Peter was going to go to Israel. Paul to the Gentiles. Now, watch what he says, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they didn't keep the law and were partial in the law. No, it didn't say that, and I did it. Now, look what he said. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the unrighteousness there ain't going to the beach. Ain't going to the movie. It ain't saying, well, you know, I know this is Sunday morning, we all go to church, but I think I'll go to the beach today. You know what the unrighteousness is? Let me show you one or two verses, then we're going to quit for this morning. Now, I'm going to have to get back on this again because we ain't near about through. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Let me show you what the unrighteousness is. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? In the gospel of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is, I'm going to have to quit. My time's running away. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Did Paul say the gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins? Did Christ die for them or not? Well, you know what Paul said in Romans? If one man died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, if you are not saved, you're dead. You ain't a young, and you're dead. Dead. You know what dead? You ain't alive. But you know what Paul said? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Beloved, what is the problem today? Unbelief. Unbelief. Same as Israel. Unbelief. They couldn't go in because of unbelief. You know who taught them unbelief? The spiritual leaders. Watch out for the spiritual leaders in these churches. They will lie to you and laugh at you while they're doing it. Appreciate you being here this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next Sunday. We're going to the Bible conference if don't nothing happen in Gunnersville. Don't forget to set your clock forward next Saturday night when you go to bed. Appreciate you being here.